Welcome back to 1-2 Punch Board. My name is Luke.
And I'm Phil.
And today we're going to be starting our 3 weeks of Blue Orange Magic. That's right. We got a bunch of games from Blue Orange Games for review, which we super appreciate and are excited to talk about. So the next 3 weeks are going to be Blue Orange only. This week we are taking a look at King Domino Duel, which we got for review, and my personal copy of Queen Domino. We're going to be talking about the two games in tandem, if we think one is better for a two-player over the other, and our general thoughts on each. So, let's get to it.
Where would you like to start?
Let's start with the original, which actually isn't the original.
That's what I was going to just correct you on.
So, King Domino came out. Some people were like, this is a little too simple. So, Blue Orange was like, well, what about this? Queen Domino. Queen Domino, it has more or less the same DNA as King Domino, but with a little extra thought-provoking stuff tacked on. For those of you unaware, King Domino is a game where you have a bunch of domino-style tiles, and each round, players are going to claim different tiles to attach to their kingdom. But depending on the order in which you claim tiles, that will determine the order of play for the following round. The less valuable the tile might be, the earlier you go in the following round, but how valuable it is to you is dependent on how you've built up your kingdom. When you attach a domino to your kingdom, you have to attach it to a domino that shares a color with the one you're placing. So if I have a tile with two yellows on it, one of those yellows has to be adjacent to another yellow square on your board. The only exception to that is that your central tile, your castle tile, is wild. And that's essentially the whole game. You're going to score at the end of King Domino for each region by adding up how many squares that region is composed of and then multiplying it by how many crowns are in that region. So you're kind of building big swaths of land and then also trying to sort of prioritize, do I take something more valuable with crowns to increase the value of that region? Now, the difference in Queen Domino is that there are special tiles that provide you with orange spaces. And orange spaces don't actually give you anything by themselves. You need to purchase different buildings to build on top of that region. And so you have currency that you can earn by placing knights on your board, and you're going to be gathering up different tiles to put on those orange spaces to get different benefits. Benefits that tend to give you points for things that in King Domino weren't super valuable. One square sections can now be worth points because of those tiles. You also get castles, which gives you the queen, and at the end of the game, if you still have the queen by having the most castles in the game, then you get a free crown on your board wherever you want. So, just a ton of interesting decisions to be made. And there's also a take that element potentially with the dragon, where you can burn one of the buildings before other players can purchase it. But I rarely see that being an option that's used. So, that's essentially King Domino and Queen Domino in a nutshell. We specifically are looking at Queen Domino, though, because it has a little bit more extra, a little extra something on top. But King Domino is essentially the same game, and you can actually combine the two. I wouldn't recommend it. It makes for a bigger, longer game with, I don't think, much payoff, personally. What were your thoughts on Queen Domino?
Queen Domino, I enjoy, like, for me, good game design involves, like, making decisions. And Queen Domino had that. We were making decisions. We were trying to decide what was the best choice. Obviously, the game is relatively simple, so your decisions are relatively limited. But you are still making decisions. You're deciding where to place the tile, which tile you want to kind of take, and then also deciding if it's worth purchasing anything to build up on your limited red squares. So I like it in the sense that you're making a lot of decisions. It was fun. It was fast, which is always a good thing. We played it two-player, and so that may be a reason that it felt very fast. I enjoyed it. But yeah, I liked the simplicity of it, but the fact that there was still decision-making and some substance to it.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot quicker with two players, because you're essentially taking two turns simultaneously. Yeah. In a three- or four-player game, you're essentially taking twice as many turns over the course of it, because you only have one king to place on each of your actions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much quicker paced game than the what some people might call the full experience, quote unquote. And I agree, there's a lot of choices to be made. There's a lot of risk reward.
Yeah.
You know, how likely am I going to see this color tile in the future? So on and so forth, which I think is super compelling.
Yeah, there's definitely, towards the end of our game, we noticed there was one land that just started coming out, one tile color that started coming out, and we, neither of us could really place it because it was not something we'd seen the entire game. So it was actually, in a way, it was disappointing to see that, but also it was like, oh, there's more to this game than just the four colors we've been using, it's just we haven't seen them. And that random element, I think, can add to like diversity every time you play the game, and also, you know, a bigger challenge when you do see all those colors early on in the game.
I would say that's actually one of my bigger complaints with the game, is that, so like, in the standard game, you go through every single tile before the game ends. In a three-player game, you discard one tile at random each round. So you're essentially seeing, quote-unquote, every tile in the game. Whereas in this, we didn't see a good portion of tiles, and there ended up being one terrain type that was kind of dead to both of us.
I see.
That, for me, was kind of a big deal, simply because we both ended up in a round where there was a bunch of tiles that were completely unplayable.
Yeah, we did have quite a few tiles that were not able to be placed.
Which is pretty rare in a three- or four-player game, so seeing that wasn't inherently bad, but feeling like there was no way for me to prepare for this, there was nothing I could do about it, and because you happened to go before me in that round, you got more of a benefit that round than I did.
Right, I see what you're saying.
But at the same time, like, I think it's a pretty small complaint, and I think there are ways of dealing with it. You know, if you plan ahead to know, okay, this is how many tiles you need for this game, and then lay the other ones face up so that both players know what the likelihood of certain terrains coming up or not are. But that might be a little bit more thought-provoking for people, because Queen Domino is a pretty light game, and I don't think it requires that much thought. Right. So I don't think focusing so much on that is beneficial to the game. You know?
So Queen Domino, do you prefer at a smaller play count or a larger play count?
So if I was to choose, I would not play Queen Domino two-player over four.
Okay.
But I do think it's still a strong two-player example, you mm-hmm. know? I think that it's got a lot of meat on its bones, and that was by far the quickest game of it I've ever played. Yeah. So that alone, that accessibility and that just pace.
Yeah, I liked the pace a lot.
Yeah.
For the two-player.
Where, like, normally the game takes, like, at least 40, 45 minutes, maybe more. Okay. So playing that in 15 is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we flew through that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's then talk about King Domino Duel, which is an iteration that is specific to two-player.
Yes.
Would you like the honors?
Sure. So the game is, on your turn, you roll four dice. You take, and the dice have basically shield faces on them. Those shields act as, by the end of the round, you'll have two dice in front of you that you've chosen or drafted. Those dice will create a 2x1 domino. Just like the tiles in King Domino or Queen Domino, and you place that, it's a roll and write, so you place those on a board by drawing them into the shields on a graph that you have. Again, we have the castle in the center, which acts as a wild. You place your dominoes either next to that wild, where one piece of that domino connects to the wild, or the domino connects to another matching shield of that type. And you build out your graph from there. The game builds until the board is essentially full or if people can't place any more of these matching dominoes, and you score at the end. The one thing to that is as you build up and you draft dice, the dice faces have X's on them, either one X, two X's, or no X's. If they have no X's, you will mark on a separate sheet of paper that you have collected a die with no X. And when you collect a certain amount of those, the first player to collect a X amount, in some cases it's three, in some cases it's five, you will be granted a power or ability that you can use from that point on in the game that the other players will not have access to. So collecting dice without X's gives you an advantage. However, collecting dice with X's is what you score at the end of the game. If you have, you're basically building out these regions with matching shields. If the region has no X's anywhere in that region, then you will not gain any points. Your score for that region is the number of matching connected dice faces multiplied by the number of X's. So if you did what I did, had a huge region with no X's in it at the end of the game, you have basically hurt yourself.
You get nothing.
You get nothing at all.
You lose.
All this land, but nothing for it. So that's the game. The game ends when, like I said, the board is full. You tally up your points based on the regions times the X's. You get one X that you can place at any time. It's one free X, so you can at least score or add to an area. I don't see anybody ever using that early in the game. I think at the end of the game, you just place it wherever is best for you. That makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tally points, and whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins.
It's basically the same game, but with a rolling rate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I don't think it works super well as a roll and write, to be honest.
It is a lot less substance than the Queen Domino was. Like when we were playing King Domino Duel, we were not really conversing or talking to each other at all. It was very quiet in this room. We're just rolling, drafting, and writing down our scores, rolling, drafting, writing down our scores. There wasn't a lot of I wasn't really looking until the end of the game, and I was like, there was basically one like interesting role that we had where I was like, okay, which one of these does Luke need, and I'll just take that one. But otherwise it was a very quiet game, and it was not incredibly thought-provoking. There wasn't a lot of decisions to be made because of the dice.
There's only four dice.
Yeah.
And because you're drafting from four dice, that pool is so freaking small.
Yeah.
Like your options are literally, do I take this or do I take that?
Yep.
And it's a Sagrada style. It's not called that. It's Sagrada primarily uses it, but it's a snake draft. That's what it's called.
Right.
Where I take one, then you take two, and then I take one.
Yeah.
Which essentially means I get one decision, you get kind of two decisions, but by that point, like, there's already a cascade of, like, this is the obvious
right.
play. And honestly, the use of, like, the suits or, like, the shields as the symbol for the different regions feels very awkward. You know, in Queen Domino or King Domino, you have plains, and you have mountains, and you have, you know, all these different terrains.
Land types, yeah.
That are very, like, easily communicated, and it's clear what you're doing, and they're colorful, so it's easy to score at the end of the game. With this, you have a bunch of graphite lines on a colorful sheet that you then have to go back through and parse out, okay, which region is which, and, like, how big is this, and it makes scoring a lot more tedious. It makes the game feel a lot less lively. And I'd say the game played as long as a two-player game of Queen Domino and felt much less satisfying.
Yeah, it was one of those. I mean, I wasn't in a hurry to end the game, but I also wasn't overly enjoying the game. It was just, it felt a lot like a thing that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just means the game isn't for us.
Yeah. And so I've definitely met some players who were, like, very invested in how quick the time frame was.
Yeah. Yep. I think I know people who would, you know, play this game, bring it for... The nice thing about it is it's very small. It's four dice and two pencils. So toting this game around is not an issue at all. It'll fit easily in any bag. So I could see, you know, traveling with kids and wanting to entertain them for 15, 20 minutes... obviously, the kids are going to need to be able to have a little bit of focus. We talked about this. I know some kids who would play this game, and I know some kids who would be not into this game at all, just depending on how much sugar there is in their system. But I think it's a game that does tote well, does move around easily, but at the same time, it's not a game that I'm big on.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't necessarily look to play it. I would play Queen Domino any day of the week. It's light, it's quick, it's simple. Even with two players, it's very accessible. I hesitate to use the word classic, but I kind of think it's a classic at this point. Like, for a lot of people, it's one of those super accessible and I think pretty well-liked games in the industry.
Yeah, Queen Domino actually, in comparison to the two, I liked it a lot. It's actually one of those games, while we were playing, I'm like, you know, this might be a game that I know some people who could play. It's definitely, I thought it was much faster than it typically is, like you said. I think of it like as a filler game between games, or like when you're waiting for people to show up to a game night. It's definitely one that might end up on my shelves for sure.
So yeah, King Domino Duel, definitely better for travel, and I would say for potentially families, maybe even like a learning game for introducing roll and writes or board games in general, because it's lighter, it's more compact, there's less involved, but keep in mind it's a bit more abstract. Whereas Queen Domino, if you've got a table, if you're staying at home, it's going to be easier to get to the table, It's more colorful, it's more exciting, it's more engaging, and plus with Queen Domino, there's like the dragon and the queen and the knights for kids to get a lot more invested in.
Yep. The other thing that's advantageous about King Domino Duel, which we didn't really mention, is it's really easy to teach. So if you are like me, I have a wife who doesn't play a lot of games, so I appreciate, and she appreciates when I have games that she can learn quickly, play quickly, and then move on with her life. And that's a kind of game where I could see me teaching it to her and us enjoying it a few times because it's so easy to learn.
So yeah, that's our thoughts on King Domino Duel and Queen Domino. What are your thoughts? Let us know in the comments. Feel free to let us know on Facebook. And until next week, have some fun with Blue Orange Games. Like, they make some really cool stuff.
They do.
Obviously, which we're going to be talking about next time. Until then, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
That's it.
I just did like two outros, one after the other. It's magic.
So just keep doing it. Roll with it. Outro after outro after outro.
It's endless. It's a cycle of outros. All right, see y'all next time.
Bye, guys.